You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
And welcome to the Race to Dubai show as the 2010 Open champion and home favourite Louis Oosthuizen wins the South African Open hosted by the city of Johannesburg.
It's very special. I mean, I knew in the back of my head, you know, winning the Open and the SA Open will be something really special. It's the two oldest Opens in the world, and that was, I think, everything. Could see the emotion on 18. It was really special.
We'll review the action from Rand Park Golf Club and stay focused on South Africa as we look ahead to this week's Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek. Welcome to the show. I'm Dan Roebuck. Alongside me, Rob Lee. Rob, how are you?
I'm good. I'm gamekeeper turned poacher this week.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
And the issue was, and we'll get to the sort of tips a little bit later on, but in the end, and this is the first time I've seen you for a few weeks, Rob, in the end,
yes,
the last season, the guest won the tournament, which I'm guessing is down to you when I was here. Or is it down to you being here when I wasn't there?
I think when you sat in that chair,
yeah,
you affected the score of the presenters badly.
I see.
That's
so
what happened.
So you're saying it was my fault.
I kept rescuing,
okay,
rescuing, and
okay,
then in the end, got done.
I see. Louis Oosthuizen overcame a shaky start to cruise to an emotional victory at the South African Open, hosted by the city of Johannesburg. He was emotional at the end, Rob, was no doubt. He was in tears on the final green.
Well, it's a tournament he's been trying to win for a long, long time. And now I do believe he has the two oldest tournaments on his mantelpiece, the Open and, of course, South African.
Yes,
Open.
The South African, the second oldest, indeed.
So he was very, very emotional. And it's been a long time since he won. He's had injuries to come through. And I think there would have been a fair amount of self-doubt in there. He nearly won the Nedbank, lost out to Lee Westwood, but played very well. And then he had a little wobble, but this time at the start of the final round, but he never looked back after that. Once he got into the middle of the front nine, he was tremendous.
He entered the final day with a 3-shot lead. It was cut to one very early on, and this is where the action really unfolded, because although Romain Langasque managed to finish second spot, he was a never near a second. And it was about the start of Louis' round where he hit poor tee shots on the first and the second, and Brandon Grace got to within one. And you felt that maybe, with pressure applied, Louis might, I don't want to say fall apart like he did at the Nedbank, because he didn't, and Lee Westwood played brilliantly.
Westwood won that.
He won that one, didn't he? But there was an element of doubt because he hadn't won for so long, and the last time on South African fairways, he didn't finish the job, but he managed to cruise away. But just for that split second, I thought we could have a very, very good end to the tournament.
Yeah, well, while there was uncertainty with the Oosthuizen game over the first few holes, Brandon Grace was making his charge. And then it was Brandon who made some errors at the same time as Louis regaining his composure and making some birdies on the front nine. And that sort of separated those two. And then Langasque came at him and I think reduced it to within three while he was on sort of 16. He made a mess of 16, Langasque.
Right.
And Louis never looked in danger, really, on the back nine. He just kept hitting it really well. What I was really impressed with Louis was, during the week, I think in round two, he was hitting quite a few hooks. He was missing a lot of tee shots.
A lot
left.
An awful lot left.
He fixed it. You know, when you see a guy trying to hit shots properly and missing it on one side and then able to fix it self-correct on the golf course, that's a sign that he knows what he's doing, and he was very impressive.
It was interesting, wasn't it, the first few days, because we saw some very, very low scores backed up by some awful scores. Louis went 62-70, which was a little bit odd, and we saw Charles Schwartzel go 63 round two to lead going into the weekend, and then he backed that up with an awful 72.
Well, what you
I know they played different courses.
Very much so, very, very different. The Bushwillow and the Firethorn. The Firethorn is the harder of the two courses. That's the one, if you finish the 4 days, you will have played 3 days on. Louis 62 was on the easier.
It was.
And
Charles was on the harder.
It was. Charles started off great guns on the harder course. And then you're going to play the weekend on the tough one, or the tougher one. It's a really good course, Rand Park. I played there many, many moons ago.
It seems to me as
brought it to its knees.
There's an awful lot of, I don't want to say risk and reward holes, because there's not too much risk, but there's a lot of holes or par fours that you can almost drive. We saw Brandon get close to a couple on the last day, and Charles as well, and indeed Louis. It seems to be a course where you can make gains fairly quickly.
Yeah, back in the day, they were amongst the longest. They're not anymore, because there's been a new breed since that can crank it even more, but they're still Charles Schwartzel, Brandon Grace, Louis Oosthuizen, and long hitters. And those par fours at altitude, 6,000 feet, they can get them on there. You know, it's sort of 350 in length, they can knock it on.
You mentioned the fact that Langasque made a bit of a mess of 16. Every single time that we saw a player get even a little bit close to Louis, suddenly their game started to fall apart. Is that because you can play with a lot more freedom when you're just chasing? You think, well, look, he's 4 or 5 shots ahead here. I'm just going to play my game. I'm not looking at leaderboards. Is there an element to that?
There is an element of, from the pack, you can really sort of have a go. But sometimes those guys get caught out because all of a sudden they've gone from on the front foot, I'm having a go, to, oh, now I'm in a good position. I want to, once they go into retain mode, I want to keep what I've got, the gains I've made. That's when the mistakes come. Guys that are afraid of looking at leaderboards don't look at leaderboards for that reason.
I guess from Oosthuizen's point of view, par 5, 14th, hit his second to a couple of feet, didn't he, for eagle. He's got to keep his composure and think, I know these guys are getting closer, but I know I've got holes that I can score on.
Winning's, it doesn't matter where you are, what tour you're on, what country you're in, winning is never easy, even for a player that's a major champion and has won loads of tournaments around the world, Louis Oosthuizen. He would have been under the cosh coming down that back nine. Very aware, it's not so much what he's got to gain, it's what he's got to lose. If he blows a 5-shot lead, everyone will talk about that much more than if he wins. They will talk about the fact he choked, and he didn't. He was superb. Now, I was delighted for him, really delighted for him. He's not really had, for a top player, a fair run because of injuries and stop-start. Let's hope now that he's fully fit and he can have a real go in 2019.
Got a little bit nervous towards the end. I mean, it didn't matter because he was so far clear, but he bogeyed 17 and I think he was desperate to try and birdie 18, and he's admitted himself that he just lost a little bit of concentration, and I guess that can happen when you've got a massive lead and it's your home open and you're welling up.
I know you don't realise this, Dan, but golf is a very difficult game.
Mm.
And even...
I'm sure it is.
Even for top players, it's in a slight misjudgment you can drop a shot, but you look at his score on the last day, he shot 4 under par, Louis Oosthuizen, when he had the 3-shot lead. That, unless there's a miracle from somebody, is always going to get the job done. That's one of the best rounds in the final round from the lead. That's how good he was.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we are joined now by the new South African Open champion, Louis Oosthuizen. Louis, congratulations. Obviously, this is one that you desperately wanted. You were very emotional with your success.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a long time for me to winless and especially the SA Open, and first time in a while that I'm playing it again. Always had a bit of scheduling issues around it, but I'm very delighted to get the win.
Hi, Louis. Robert Lee here. I was delighted to see you win one of the, it's the second oldest, I believe, championship in the world. And how old were you when you first thought, Louis, this is for the South African Open? What age were you when you thought that, when you were a young kid practicing on the putting green?
Well, I think I was probably around 12, 13 years old, standing on the putting green, working on things and pretending that, I've got a putt for victory and stuff like that. So, I got to say, probably as a young kid, 12, 13 years old.
Well, it was a long time coming, Lou, because you hadn't won since 2016. Did you feel that a victory was just around the corner? You were maybe a little unlucky in the Ned Bank?
I've been playing well for a while, and I played really well in Nedbank, but basically was outplayed by Westwood on the last round, so that one hurt a little bit, but it made the victory at the SA Open just even more special.
When did you think that you had the tournament won? Brandon Grace made a run at you very early on, but you seemed to have it controlled, certainly on the back nine.
Yeah, once I got through 13 holes, I had, I turned and it was basically downwind, except for 1 par 3. And I knew at that time I had a 4-shot lead, so I could be a little bit more, not really attack it that much. I can just play my normal game. And then I eagled 14, and that stage I went to 6-shot lead, so... Then I sort of knew I got this one. I just need to focus the last few holes.
Louis, how much is that going to make you reset your targets for what you think you're now capable of? Because I'm sure you must have had some doubt in there with injuries and loss of form. How confident are you now?
Yeah, I've been a while, working on a lot of things, and I have a great team around me that believe in me and told me that I will overcome all this. It's been a tough ride sometimes with all the injuries. So, I'm definitely going to reset some of the goals. But, to get that first win was definitely a major thing for me to get my 2019 season on the way.
Louis is a past Open champion. You'll be looking forward to going to a very special venue in 2019, Royal Portrush. That will be amazing because you know the crowds there are going to be massive.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Open every year. That's one of my highlights, always playing the Open Championship. And I can't really wait to get there. And I think it's going to be really special being in Ireland as well. I think it's been there in the 50s, if I'm not wrong. I think it was a long time ago that last time it was in Ireland.
Well, Louis, it's great to see you in the winner's enclosure once again. Have a great Christmas and New Year period, and we will hope to speak to you again in 2019. Thanks for coming on the Race to Dubai show. Thanks, Louis.
Well done, Louis.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was his first victory since 2016. Oosthuizen joins Bobby Lott, Gary Player, Bob Charles, Ernie Els and Henrik Stenson as the only players to win both the Open and the South African Open. He's up to third in the Race to Dubai and has gone from 36th to 25th in the official Golf World Rankings. Second place in every single major. He's got the runner-up Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam runner-up, yes. I know
incredible,
your next question.
Isn't it? Yeah, come on. There are seven players in total that have finished second in all four of golf's Grand
Slams. Well, I was
going to
say, I'm going to say Ernie.
Ernie is not one of them.
What? I thought he almost had a Grand Slam year of seconds. When Woods had his 2000 year, I thought Ernie had
according to this webpage,
in that one year.
According to this fairly well-known webpage, he's not on the list.
Gosh. Jack certainly got it.
Yeah, Jack is one.
No problem. Oh, yeah. Then you're going to get Gary.
No.
No. No Gary. Sam Snead.
Is not one.
Arnold Palmer.
Is one.
Tom Watson.
Is one. Come on, listener, you can join in.
Oh, yes, you can. I can hear you all screaming at home. Come on, Lee, you idiot.
I think this is...
We're done, Tiger.
Tiger's not one.
He's not one.
Not according to this. Which I'm starting to question.
Well, because Jack had 19 seconds.
Yes, he did.
And 11 thirds. Not many people know that.
Mm.
Gosh, who else had a grand slam of seconds? Phil Mickelson. Seve?
No.
Greg?
Yes. Yeah, you've got six. The last one is very, very difficult, I would suggest.
Is it like Gene Sarazen?
He played in the 1930s, 40s.
Bobby Jones?
Rob, you will forget more about golf than I will ever know.
Horton Smith.
But even I think you're going to struggle with this one.
Go on.
Born in New York, played obviously on the PGA, so played Ryder Cup on a number of occasions, won the Masters.
Hogan.
And the US Open. In 1941.
Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson.
No.
Not those two. Oh, that's incredible.
It's very difficult. I mean, I'd never heard of him, but that doesn't say anything.
Ooh, Julius Borrows.
Craig Wood is the answer.
Well,
I think Craig Wood won
the Masters, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He won the Masters and he won the US Open the same year, but he also came second in those events and second in the other events.
The PGA Championship when it was match play.
Yes.
Must have lost in the final.
Yes. Don't know who to, though. Okay. So there you go. That's a good question, that, because you can get a lot of them fairly easy, and then the other one is just completely impossible.
I had a feeling that Justin Rose had second places and all, but obviously not.
I thought Colin Montgomery, but...
So did Colin.
But it wasn't. Back on Louis. Can Louis get to the heights of major victory again, do you think?
Yes, he can. Do you know what he did this week that I haven't seen him do for a long time? And the last time I really saw him putt like he did, which you have to, it doesn't matter who you are, you have to putt well to win, was when he won the Open at St Andrews. Every time he knocked it past 4 or 5 feet or pitched it to 4 or 5 feet, he made them. And he putted like that on these greens in Johannesburg. He reminded me with his putter of how he did when he won the Open. So
he won
if he can keep
easy,
that going,
yeah, didn't he? He won very easily.
Yes, he did. He flat batted everyone back, yeah. And he just never looked like relinquishing his lead.
Did he play with Paul Casey in the final round? I think
too much information.
Yeah, Casey got in a bit of trouble, did he?
That's a question. Don't throw me a loose-ended question. Look for help when you're floundering in the water. Forget
well,
it.
I always look to you for help.
It's not a method.
Well, listen.
Yes, he can. If Louis has fitness for another 12 months and he keeps his putter going like it is, can he compete in the biggest events in the world? Yes, he can.
Well, Francis Romain Langasque was second. He capped off a positive week with a closing 66.
Really good round of golf. I play really solid, and so I know now I can make some good results. And finished third in Mauritius last year. I hope finished second there. So, yeah, looked like my best result on mentor.
And a return to the Open Championship as a pro. Yeah. That must be exciting for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Even more in Portrush because that's a special course and it's a really tough one. So. Yeah, everything go really quick. You know, like 3 months ago, I was on Challenge Tour and I didn't get any card, and now I'm normally qualified for the Open. So really, really happy and just continue on the way I am, and some good things are coming, I think.
Yes, Longas claimed one of the 3 available spots for the Open Championship at Royal Portrush Golf Club next summer. The other 2 players to earn an Open place were 2011 Masters winner Charles Schwartzel and England's Oliver Wilson, who were 2 of those who were tied for 3rd. Let's hear from Wilson now, who was thrilled with his week in Joburg.
Delighted. Yeah, it's been a while. You know, I've been playing much better this year, but to come to Ram Park, it's a proper test. It's a really good golf course, both of them. You've got to drive it really well, which has been the thing that's really held me back over the last few years. I'm absolutely thrilled. You know, I almost enjoyed it out there. So it was good. You know, I'm just pleased that the game's going the right direction. I always find this part of the year is really important to try and get a couple of decent results, get a bit of money on the board and feel like you've got momentum going into next year when after having a bit of time off coming up. So to get a 3rd here is big. You know, it really helps. Looking forward to the rest of the year.
I hear you're a new dad. Has that inspired the performance this week?
Yeah, I am. I've got a little 9-month-old boy. Yeah, it's fair to say it's changed a few things. Certainly some perspective in my golf. I want to get to a stage where he can watch me play golf and be proud instead of maybe just hearing me tell him stories of how I used to be decent. So, yeah, I'm working back to that, and it'd be nice to be able to get to some more results like this and try and get some more wins and build some momentum going forward.
Schwartzel and Wilson, incidentally, finished at 10 under alongside South Africans Thomas Akin and Bryce Easton. Just, Rob, your thoughts on a few of those players that we've just heard from. Longas and Wilson, both Challenge Tour winners over the course of the last 12 months. Are they getting close to European Tour wins? We know Oliver's won previously after a long drought prior to his Dunhill Links win.
Well, Dunhill Links win, yeah.
It was massive, wasn't it?
It was massive because his run-up to that, he was playing Challenge Tour and he couldn't break 71. And then he went there and he won. And I'll tell you, he beat Rory and the rest of the field there in a tough field on a really difficult last day. And he played like a champ. And then he disappeared again. The enigma that is Oliver Wilson, because he can seriously play. I don't know if he gets bogged down in theory or what it is that he keeps trying to fix. Because just go and play. Leave it alone.
Longask, one to watch in the future?
Obviously, his curve is going in an upward direction. And he's one of a bunch of really good young French players. Yeah, I mean, they've got plenty of role models to look at. And think, well, you know, I want to do what Victor Dubuisson's done. I want to do what all the other French players have done. And Longask seems to have the pedigree. And I think we're going to see a lot more from him.
Subplot, obviously, for those players, as we've just talked about, was making sure you're in the Open for next year. Can't quite believe that Charles Schwartzel wasn't in.
Yeah, you know, you see people turning up at Opens and then you might forget that, oh, he's in there because he won the Open. Or you can drop out of major exemptions very quickly. And if Charles needed that finish to play in the Open, he'll be absolutely thrilled with that. Because it's no given that you're going to go and qualify, either on site or in the qualifying process or somewhere you're going to get another top 3. When you get that chance to do what he did at his own home Open, you've got to take it. So well played, Charles Schwartzel. He'd be gutted not to be in Portrush, and he's going to be there now, as is Oliver Wilson and Longask.
A couple of other interesting news stories, I thought, or at least players to talk about. Madalitso Mutia. A Zambian ranked outside the top 1,000 in world golf. I think at one stage led, didn't he, on the Saturday?
Didn't he play well?
He was fantastic.
Yeah, really good to see. When you think of South African golfers, you don't think of black South African golfers. And it's going to happen. There are going to be more and more black South African golfers as at grassroots level, more native youngsters take up the game. And we saw that. They had a clinic there in the TV coverage during the week at the South African Open. It was brilliant. A lot of these young South African kids were just stepping up on that tee and giving it a rip. It's going to be more and more commonplace, but well played.
Yeah, let's hope so. One player that I guess we might have expected to be certainly playing the weekend and maybe towards the top of the leaderboard is young Jovan Rabula, who is Ernie Els's nephew. It's his sister's boy, isn't he? And
they
played together on Saturday.
Round 3.
What a thrill that was.
Played with old Uncle Ernie. Uncle Ernie should be a song, shouldn't it? I'm sure the Beatles or Chaz and Dave did an Uncle Ernie. But yeah, he played with Ernie. And
have they got similar swings, you tell me?
No. Ernie is a big man, and his nephew was alongside him. He wasn't looking down at him. He's a big boy. Obviously, he's a really good player, and it's in the genes. It's in the DNA, isn't it? He's going to be... When you grow up as a kid and you look, and your uncle is Ernie Els, all of a sudden you feel connected, and I think he's probably felt connected to the game of golf, or, you know, with an upward look at what he could achieve for a long, long time.
Ernie, of course, was the fastest milkman, milk float in the West.
Ernie drove the fastest milk float in the West.
That's it, yeah. Who sang that?
Benny Hill.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. It's not even funny, but I mean, it's just a fact. What's your next point?
I thought that
Who's got a Grand Slam of thirds? What's your next point?
I thought that was the song you were looking for. I thought you were mixing up your Beatles and Benny Hills.
No, I didn't. No, I absolutely just dropped that in.
You know, the memory goes.
I just dropped it in. Actually, our listeners are so clever. They realised that the subtle hint, it didn't need you to go overboard with the Ernie and Benny Hill. It didn't need you to do that. They got it already.
Mr. Lee, top yes. 10 from the South African Open hosted by the city of Johannesburg, please.
So tied for seventh, and there is an awful lot of them, is Madalitso Mathia, Jeff Winter, JB Kruger, Brandon Grace, Hayden Porteous, Anthony Michael, the South Korean, Yikyun Chang, and Brandon Grace. They all finished tied for seventh. In a tie for third was Bryce Easton, Thomas Aiken, Oliver Wilson, and Charles Schwartzel. Roman Langasque was second on his own, and the winner, of course, was the fabulous Louis Oosthuizen.
Predictions. Let's just remind you that we get two selections each. Score 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for a missed cut. One of the picks has to be outside of the top 50 from the previous year's Race to Dubai standings. Rob, you picked the winner last week. You went for Mr. Oosthuizen. And you also went for Mathieu Pavon, who missed the cut. So you've got a minus there, but you got 15. That's a good haul. 15, that's a good haul for me. Jamie went for Charles Schwartzel, who was third, 10 points.
Yeah.
And also Eric Van Rooyen, who pulled out
minus five. It's a miscut.
You think that's the miscut?
That's a miscut, yeah. If your man pulls out.
Really?
Well, you're playing with no jeopardy then, aren't you? To be sort of neutral and 0 points isn't a bad week in this game.
I mean, if this was a play spot in horse racing terms, it would go on the favourite.
So if you finish 21st in a tournament, you get no points.
Mm. Are you saying it should be minus five?
It's a minus five.
But it's just unlucky, isn't it? You know?
It's called jeopardy. It's minus five.
Apparently, our producer's telling me that the rules are clear and it's zero.
So that means him pulling out is the same points as somebody finishing 21st.
Yeah.
How can that possibly be right?
Do not shoot the messenger.
Because he could have missed a cut and lost five
could've
points.
Been. He wouldn't have, though, would he? He could have won. So because Eric pulled out, because of illness, unfortunately, that's 0 points. So it means that Jamie gets 10, and even though you pick the win, you only get five more.
Yeah, but added to the rest of my points.
What, from last week?
Keep going, yeah. Just look at the... What's the main...
Well, the overall presenter on 45 and the co-presenter is now on 20.
So 45 for me.
Yeah.
And 20 for the person that is in the seat this week, which I'm going to now, because I'm double.
Exactly.
I'm double.
But it's because I've not been on the show for ages, for like 6 months.
That's right. That's why the presenter's in front. That's correct.
Rob, we need the top 10 in the Race to Dubai, please.
Top 10 in the Race to Dubai. Out in front is Aaron Rye after his brilliant win in Hong Kong. Kirk Kitayama from the United States is in second place. Not a big guy, hits it a long way. Louis Oosthuizen in third after his victory in South Africa, followed by Matthew Fitzpatrick in fourth, Roman Langasque fifth, Jason Scrivener sixth, Victor Perez seven, Mathieu Pavon eight, Thomas Aiken nine, and Justin Harding in 10th spot.
In other news, Clark Dennis secured his fourth Stayshore Tour title in stunning fashion, equaling the tour's lowest 54-hole score to win the MCB Tour Championship in Mauritius on 23 under par. Last year's Stayshore Tour number one didn't drop a shot across the 3 days. Graham McDowell of Northern Ireland and Emiliano Grillo of Argentina finished second in the QBE shootouts on the PGA Tour. American pairing Pat Kazire and Brian Harman won by a stroke in Florida, carding 61 in the final round. Some very, very low scores on the PGA Tour.
Rob, 61 wasn't even the low score on the last day.
You were across this. Explain why.
It was four ball, better ball. That's right. And I'm trying to tell you who finished with a 60 and came from the pack and almost won. Really fine effort. Bubba Watson and Harold Varner III.
They played well. I sort of quite enjoyed the sort of different scoring aspect to it. What did you make of it?
Do you know, it's an end-of-season bit of fun. And the great thing is, unlike the 18 players that play in the Hero Challenge Tigers event that get world-ranking points, there's no world-ranking points here. There's no FedEx Cup points. It's just a bit of fun. And the tournament, Greg's tournament, that's been going for 30 years, has raised $13 million for good causes and local charities. So, yeah, I'm all up for that at this time of year. Why not? There's a place for it. And Lexi Thompson played with Tony Finau for the second year in a row. It would be great if they could have more female professionals playing alongside the men and maybe figure out a slightly different format where they could compete. She's extraordinary because she hits it a long way. But, you know, some of the other ladies won't hit it as far and it wouldn't quite work out as well.
Well, as you mentioned, Rob, no world ranking points up for grabs in the QBE shootout. So let's just remind ourselves, though, of the world top 10 as it stands.
Still, Brooks Koepka in the number one position, closely followed by Justin Rose, then Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Francesco Molinari, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, and rounding out the top 10, Tony Finau. Tommy Fleetwood in 12th, just outside the top double handful of players.
Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek is the European Tour event this week. It's the final European Tour event of the calendar year. Brandon Stone is the defending champion. Went so close to that 59, of course, in Scotland earlier this year. Co-sanctioned with the Sunshine Tour. Wasn't played last year. Extensive improvements were being made. Iconic setting, of course. It borders the picturesque Crocodile River and the Kruger National Park. Gary Player designed venue, and one we've seen for a good few years, not just on European Tour, but previously played on regular Sunshine Tour events. So an awful lot of these players know this track very well. Is it a course you know, Rob?
Not a course I've been to. I'd like to have gone there because its unique position alongside the river, the Crocodile River, which, funnily enough, is full of crocodiles. It's like Daktari. You know, watching that tournament, the animals come over the Kruger National Park, and who knows what's going to make it onto the fairways. But it is an amazing place, and the pictures during the week are just spectacular.
I just want to read this one bit out that I've been given.
Yeah.
Golfing hazards take on a new dimension at Leopard Creek, Rob. For much of the water is home to the magnificent creatures for which the river is named, crocodiles, as you mentioned briefly before.
That's right.
Extensive use has been made of water features, and sightings of crocodile, hippo, antelope, buffalo and elephant are commonplace.
So there is an apocryphal story of a bunch of Dutch guys getting drunk by the Crocodile River because there's beautiful villas and houses down there and stuff. And the bet was, I bet you can't swim across to that island that's in the middle of the Crocodile River. What a question. Off with the clothes.
Where were they from?
They were from South Africa.
I thought you said they were Dutch.
No. Dutchmen would be, you know, a lot of South African men, they call Dutchmen because they have Dutch ancestry and all the names.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well, I like
all
it.
The names.
Yeah, good knowledge.
All the Van der Mervers and all those are all Dutchmen. So he decided to strip off to his underpants and, fueled with beer, dived into the Crocodile River and made it across. Didn't get chomped on by a crocodile.
Yeah.
So he gets onto the island, turns around in triumph to his mates and realises, hang on a minute, as he's starting to sober up very quickly, that now he's on the island and the crocodiles are sort of woken up from their stupor and they're thinking food. So now he's got to jump in the water and swim back, and he made it.
True story?
Yeah, apparently
I don't believe you. Yeah. What type of course outside of the animals?
Of course, that's
show?
Not quite as maybe jarring as the Japanese tourist that was playing golf at the Lost City.
How did he find the Lost City?
So the Lost City was, because it was on a map, he found the Lost City.
Not very lost.
At Sun City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
I see.
So he's playing the Lost City, and they have a crocodile. You see, it's a crocodile theme. They've got a crocodile pit on the right hand side. I think it's of 13. There's a pit with crocodiles in it. But as you know, in the middle of the daytime, when it's sunny, crocodiles don't do an awful lot. They just bask. They like the heat. And he hit his ball into the pit, jumped into the pit, hit his ball out of the pit, and climbed out of the pit. Finished his round, got into the clubhouse, having the beer. And he said, it's amazing that Disney thing they got on the right of 13. He said, I hit my ball in there and jumped in and played it out. All these plastic crocodiles. And they went, no, they're not plastic.
Real.
They took him
back.
That's
not true.
They took him back to the pit and just threw in a live chicken, you know, just to see it get eaten by these plastic crocodiles.
Is that a true story?
Yeah.
No way.
That is a true story.
Unbelievable.
Very full. The chicken bit, maybe not. But apparently, Japanese...
It's a nice embellishment at the end of the story.
Well, they had to prove they were real because they were just like dummies.
Yeah, exactly. What type of player will be suited to this week's course?
Not a plastic one.
Not a plastic
one. No. You've got to be vibrant and able to take on the hazards, the natural hazards. You've mentioned the antelope and the leopards that could come flying across from the Kruger National Park. Great golf course, an exciting finish. There's a par 5 to finish across water with the second shot that always produces drama because the green on the right-hand side where they normally put the pin is not very deep. Even if you're playing for a 5, you can make a mess of it. It's a great, great finishing hole. One of the best ones on the European Tour. Everybody loves the golf course.
But big, the players, big hitter, accurate hitter.
Big hitting is never, ever a hindrance. It always helps if you're hitting shorter clubs into these
holes. Do you know, this question every single time.
Because it's true.
But surely
golf has always been a power
game.
There
are some courses that you think, do you know what? You've got to be a bit more considered.
It's not this.
No, it just doesn't exist.
It does on ones that basically the shaping of the holes forbid you going any further. Those are the ones that temper the long guys, and the shorter guys go, ooh, I've got a chance this week. When it's, you know, in typical South African fashion, there's plenty of room. Being longer is much better than being shorter.
Well, we know that Louis Oosthuizen is playing, as is Charles Schwartzel, who is looking for his fifth win in the event.
Yeah, next week is a really good week. I'm gonna have to sharpen up my game to carry on winning there. But it's always fantastic to go there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Do you know, he's just said he's got to sharpen up his game. I'm going to tip Charles as one of my selections. So the fact that he says he's got to sharpen up his game is a little bit concerning. But he's won there four times previously.
Good.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I want him to be in the.
I want him to be in
good nick already.
Some of the players that are playing, you want to know that, do you? Wallace, Bernd Wiesberger, yeah. Brandon Grace, George Katsia, Dean Burmester.
Wait 1 second. Is Bernd Wiesberger ready to compete again?
He's playing on a medical, and hopefully he's fully fit now because we know what a good player he is, and hopefully he's going to play well again. He's going to find the form that he had and be injury-free. That's what you hope. That's the only thing you hope for people. What they do is up to them, but that he has a platform to push on. I hope that Bernd Wiesberger has that in 2019.
For Matt Wallace, this may be a tournament too far. I think he's been one of the players of the season or the calendar year in 2018. Been fantastic, but yeah. I just felt, I mean, he finished badly, didn't he, in the South African Open last week. He sort of slipped away a little bit, having looked like he could be. You know, we're talking about likely winners and players that maybe wilt under pressure. He's a player. He's a go-to guy.
Look, three wins, he goes for it. And sometimes when you go for it, you make mistakes. It'll cost you. But keep going for it because that's how you get more wins. You won't back into many wins these days. You've got to win looking for the win, and he looks for the win. So he's great to watch, Matt Wallace. And yeah, he didn't have the finish he wanted last week, but that's going to happen again. What most people can't do is win three times in a year, and he's done that.
He's been brilliant. Brandon Grace got close last week and then fell away. George Katsia doesn't seem to be the player that he might have been a few years ago. One or two injury issues as well, I think.
Yeah, the working on the game thing can set you back as much as an injury. So it's confidence for most of these players. If they're fit, it's a little bit of confidence. They get that feeling again and then you watch them go, they take off. So George is waiting for that to happen.
New breed of South African players-ish. Dean Burmester and Dylan Fratelli.
Burmester hits the ball miles.
Yeah, and
so
Dylan Fratelli's got his PGA Tour card, and you know these are players that might not have been on the radar a few years ago, but suddenly seem to be the next generation of South African players who might go on and win multiple times.
Yeah, they might do. South Africa has a rich history of top players, major winners. So for all these young bucks that are coming through, for them to be the next South African thing, they've basically got to win majors.
Couple of old boys, if I can call them that, in the lineup, Ernie Els and Robert Carlson. Ernie sort of threatened occasion. I mean, it'd be some story if he could win again. I mean, he got close on Saturday. I think he got to within two in the South African Open and then sort of slid down a little bit. But he still seems to retain a lot of ability. He's going to do brilliantly on the Champions Tour pretty soon.
Well, he is. I'm sure they'll all be thrilled when Ernie turns up. You know, when it's the pension plan for the players that have played on the PGA Tour, the American players, they'll be thrilled with another international interloper turns up like Els because he is going to win some money there.
Robert Carlson?
Yeah, Robert Carlson has been a really good player for a really long time, played an awful lot of golf tournaments, and there's still juice left in that tank.
And one other player on my list here is Kurt Kitayama, who we saw winning Mauritius come from absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, hardly played a professional event, really. Played very little. Certainly on the European Tour, he's just come out of the egg. And featured last week again. He played well last week.
Is he another Brooks Cup, could you think, come and play over here?
You look at the starting list for the Q School. There's a lot of American kids come over and play Q School because they know the only way to hone your game is to play competitive golf week in, week out. And for American players, if they get onto the European Tour, Brooks had to do it via the Challenge Tour. He won three times in a Challenge Tour, promotion to the main tour, and then we know what he did, and then subsequently was always going to be of a quality that he would go back to his home tour in America and play, and now he's a multi-major winner, Brooks Koepka. He's the go-to guy for a young American player that hasn't made it through on the web.com tour and is wondering what he should do.
Come on then, we need some tips. We need your two selections. Who do you think might win?
Now he stopped crying. Louis Oosthuizen.
Again, back-to-back.
I can't look past him. He played well at the Nedbank, had a little bit of a break, turns up and wins the South African Open that he's been wanting to win for years and years and years. And whatever self-doubt he had or whatever niggling injury problems he had, they seem to be behind him. And when Louis gets a good run, when he gets confidence like he must have now, he's good. I can't see past Louis Oosthuizen this week.
What about your other pick?
Thomas Aiken, who had a very good last round at the South African Open. South African conditions always favour the South African players. Always look for them. I know they overrun, in terms of numbers, how many international players there are there. There's a lot of South Africans playing. But Aiken with confidence on that golf course, yeah.
I'm going to go for two South Africans. Charles Schwartzel is going to be my first four-time winner. First time back in 2004. Also won in 2012, 2013, 2015. Was fourth in the last renewal, 2016.
Like it.
Behind Brandon Grace. And was third last week, even though he finished 71-72. As we've just heard, he's looking to sharpen up his game. Charles, I hope you do. Ahead of this one. And also, I'm going to go for Darren Fickart, who's another former champ. And played well in the Nedbank a few weeks ago.
So if you have
top 10.
If you have a good week, you're sort of winning points for me.
Yes, I am.
Yes, well
but,
done.
You know,
I wish you luck.
Yeah, well, I sort of don't wish you luck. Not
well,
in that
I could,
chair anyway.
I could have. I could have chosen.
Usually,
a couple,
I would do.
I could have chosen a couple of duds.
Yeah, you
to
can,
keep
but
the co-presenter
not, yeah, that's
down.
Not,
that's not my
that's
style.
That's not your style.
That's not my style.
Never has been. Never
play to
will
win.
Be.
Play to win,
absolutely.
Dan. Play to win.
That is your lot for now. Next week, we'll review the Alfred Dunhill Championship, the final events of the calendar year. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Robert Lee.
Who's going for Louis Oosthuizen and Thomas Aiken.
And myself, Dan Roebuck, who likes Schwartzel and Fickart this week. It is goodbye. We'll speak to you next week.